Welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, where we discuss all things elder law, estate, and legacy planning. Hosted by certified elder law attorney Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm. And now your host, attorney Tim Seckler.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm. My name is Tim Seckler. I am your host. We get to spend about a half an hour here together talking about all things estate planning, elder law, asset protection. If you haven't checked out the show before, I hope you find it educational, and I hope you find it a little bit entertaining. If you like it, you can find old episodes. We've done over 50 of them now. You can find those on my podcast, which you can find on Apple iTunes or Spotify, or you can go to my website and check out the old episodes there at secklerlawfirm.com. That's S-E-C-H-L-E-R lawfirm.com. And if you listen to this over the radio or on the podcast and you are so inclined, you can also find videos of the episodes, which is really me sitting here in front of my camera, on my YouTube channel. So you can find that on YouTube. If you search for my name, Tim Seckler, or the Life and Legacy Show, you should find it on YouTube. So when we do the show, we typically do a couple of different things. It's sort of my thoughts on what's going on in the world, my thoughts on what makes effective planning, you know, in my position as an elder law attorney and estate planner. And sometimes you learn a couple of legal technical things that might just save your house. Before we get into that stuff, I have to do a little disclaimer. I'm a lawyer. I have lawyers, and they tell me I need to do this. This show is made for educational and informational purposes. If you have a legal problem, you need to hire a lawyer for your own legal solution. Some of these things I discuss generally, but specifically may or may not apply to your situation. So how's that? Okay, so that being said, here's what I want to talk about today. We are going to talk about sort of this overlap and try to help you with a couple of different tools. What is the difference between a financial planner, an estate planner, and an elder law attorney, right? When do I need to go see these people and for what? And do they work together? And how does this all work? And so I want to walk you through at least my take on this, because sometimes there's some overlap. Sometimes we need to work together with your financial folks to figure out the right plan for you. So let's start with an example, and let's just say Bob and Sue. And Bob is a white collar, soon to be retiree worker of some sort. We'll make him an engineer, and he is married to Sue, who is a school teacher and has some retirement savings in the school system. And they're thinking about retirement, and they've saved some money over the years. Let's put them in their mid 50s. And they're wanting to know, okay, we know now that we have some money. We didn't used to have money, but we now have some money. And we know we need to do some planning. We need to be thinking through this. Now, I've got my thing in the company plan, but I'm not going to be with the company for that much longer. So what do I need to do with these dollars when I'm no longer working for the plan? Do they stay there? Do they transfer? And who do I need? Do I need a financial advisor? Do I need to talk to a lawyer? Okay, so let's walk through this a little bit. So, you know, as Bob and Sue are working in younger years and maybe raising little kids or whatever they were up to, they were in what we would call like the accumulation phase, right? So what you're trying to do at that stage in your life is save as much money as you can, put a certain percentage of it away, invest that money. A lot of the times, if you are with an employer that offers a plan, we're doing either 401ks or you're doing IRA contributions, so you're getting tax-deferred growth. And so a lot of this money is growing in retirement accounts. And what you don't have in a retirement account, you might be saving in a mutual fund or an investment account of some sort. Perhaps somebody has advised you to purchase an annuity, so you might have your money there, right? But in the accumulation phase, especially for younger folks, generally speaking, the idea is growth, right? We want to keep it. We want to grow it. We're willing to take on a little bit more risk in order to try to grow the money, right? But then things change later as we have stuff, as people accumulate stuff, and then they're looking for preservation more than anything, right? So older in age, financial advisors will typically advise you to reduce your risk and maybe not get into such risky equities and maybe a little bit more bond funds or a little bit more of fixed income sources or whatever the case is. So that is the job primarily of somebody called a financial advisor, okay? Now, you can find financial advisors of different types of licenses and different types of credentials who will talk to you about different types of things. Sometimes you can find a financial advisor that can help advise you on your company plan, perhaps for a fee. So if you are, if you have your money in like a 401k, perhaps they have somebody that comes around the office once a year and will talk to you, or perhaps you want somebody that can give you some outside advice. And so you can find financial advisors that will work with you on a fee that can help you say, okay, well, if you're going to leave the dollars in the company funds, let's talk about which fund, and let's talk about how the money should be invested, even if we don't take it under management. Now, a lot of the time when you leave your employer, you'll roll that 401k into an IRA, and that IRA would be held at a private institution. Well, you know, one of the brokerage houses or a bank, you can have an IRA account. Okay. So, and then the goal of the financial advisor, the goal of finance, like the overall goal, the big thing is I want to make sure my clients don't run out of money. Right now, I'm speaking as though I'm a financial advisor. I'm not, but the financial advisor's job, especially through retirement, is to advise people on, okay, this is what we have. This is some growth opportunity, but this is really how we preserve this and spend it and make sure that you have enough during your life. Okay. So the primary goal is to make sure that you don't outlive your funds and that you can have a successful and safe retirement. I mean, if you watch any TV show, you know, in the evenings, you're going to see advertisements from some of the big boys that are just talking about exactly that. You're on the big green couch talking about your dreams and how to preserve money and have a successful retirement, right? That is primarily the job of the financial advisor. Where does an estate planner fit in? Well, an estate planning, it really manages a couple of things, and it's really control and access of you and your stuff through a couple of different life events. If I get sick, who's going to make the decisions, right? If I pass away, where does the stuff go and who's going to make the decisions? So traditional estate planners, lawyers, you know, so sometimes you'll find estate planning on financial advisors' websites. That usually means they work with estate planners. Estate planning is done by attorneys who focus on estate planning, not by the financial advisor, okay? So the financial advisor will typically say, we work with this fella or this lady, and but we need to make sure that you have an estate plan. So let's not get those two things confused. Financial advisors do not do estate planning. Estate planning is done by lawyers who write things like wills and trusts. Okay, so, but the primary goal of traditional estate planning has been tax avoidance, and it has been getting it to the stuff as easily as possible. And it has been, it's been a series of things about maximizing what your kids get rather than giving it to the government by way of taxes or overly burdensome estate administration fees or, you know, and the like. And so traditional estate planning generally starts with a document called a power of attorney, where you can say, hey, if I become incapacitated, here's the person who can make decisions. And then it goes on. The next time period that matters is what happens with my stuff when I pass away. Now, this is handled a couple of different ways. Sometimes it's handled with a document called a will. You know, most people know what a will is and what a will does. It names who's in control. That person's called the executor, and it names who gets the stuff. Those people are called the heirs of the estate. But they can do a couple of other things too. They can, with a will, we can do planning for underage beneficiaries. We can do planning for disabled beneficiaries. If you're concerned about your kids inheriting money and then losing it to a divorce or a lawsuit, we can plan for those issues. So estate planning is really the traditional estate plan. The approach is to make sure that the funds get to where they are. So if we go back to Bob and Sue, our characters in the story we started there, let's say they're approaching retirement and they have never done an estate plan. Well, one thing that we're almost always going to recommend is let's get a power of attorney, because listen, Bob, if you have a stroke, your wife's not going to be able to access that 401k that you have with the company. See, a lot of people assume that if I'm incapacitated, my wife can get to all the funds, but that's not really how it works, because, you know, for all the financial institution that's managing that 401k, for all they know, look, I was on the way to the divorce attorney's office when I had my accident that resulted in the head injury, and I don't want her to get those funds, right? So if I don't do any planning, we end up in this situation where we have to go through guardianship court, and it's a big, nasty process. And so you want to avoid all that with the power of attorney. They can authorize your spouse or your kids or someone to deal with that financial institution if you have the head injury or the stroke or the dementia, okay? Now, So that's the first recommendation almost any estate planner is going to tell Bob and Sue is we need to plan for your incapacity with this document called a power of attorney. Then we get into post-death planning. And this is where things start getting more complicated, but you have to understand that there's different ways that you own your assets. See, some of the time when you're working with a financial advisor, your financial advisor will tell you to put beneficiary designations on the accounts, right? But if you put beneficiary designations on the account, then it sidesteps the will, which could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what's going on. You know, wills don't just answer the question, who gets it when you pass away? Wills can be used to answer a lot of other questions. So let's say Bob and Sue have a disabled grandchild. Well, the will could say, when I pass away, stuff goes to my kid, but if my kid is deceased, it goes to my grandchild, but that grandchild is disabled. The will needs to have a just-in-case special needs trust for that grandchild so that that disabled grandchild doesn't lose their access to things like free health care and free housing and all the social services that they may be entitled to, all right? So wills don't just answer the question, what happens, who gets it when I pass away? Wills will answer, well, when they receive the money, if they've got some negative things going on in their life, perhaps we can plan for that, which is why, in my opinion, wills are a better instrument than relying solely on beneficiary designations, even though sometimes your financial advisors will tell you to rely on beneficiary designations. Beneficiary designations only tend to answer the question, what happens, who gets it when I pass away? It doesn't answer the question, well, what happens if they're underage? What happens if they die before me? What happens if they're disabled? What happens if they go through a divorce? Those are the things that tend to blow up a family. Those are the types of things that we can handle in doing an effective estate plan, be it a will or a trust or some estate planning document. We answer those contingency questions. So my word of caution is, you know, this is your world. You do with it what you want, but it always concerns me a little bit when clients come to my office and they're sending 90% of their stuff via beneficiary designation because, well, okay, but what happens if life throws your family a curveball? One of your kids dies before you, who's in control of the money? Or one of your kids becomes disabled before you, who's in control of the money? Are they going to lose their free health care? So I think estate planning, when done properly, answers more than just the question, who gets it when you pass away? All right, so just some takeaways for you. There is a difference between financial planning and estate planning. Estate planning is done by lawyers to answer some of these other questions. Financial advisors' main job is to grow and preserve money, okay? Where we need to work together, and which is why if you have your own financial advisor, bring them to the office, hook us up, and let us work together with them. I enjoy that. Because they are putting beneficiary designations on your accounts, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. Again, it just needs to be coordinated. But so many people will do the self-managed fund through one of the big houses, or they'll just have the company plan and they just simply list their kids as IRA beneficiaries. And then they print off a will off the internet and they think they have an estate plan. But the thing's a nightmare when they pass away. And so effective estate planning is more than just drafting documents. Effective estate planning is really about making sure the whole thing is going to work and we plan for some contingencies. Okay, got it. And it's best done when the financial advisor and the attorney work together because I need to understand the contracts they have you in. I need to understand how the accounts are going to pay out when you pass away. They need to understand that we've got these documents managing certain contingencies and we can work it out and work together. So my office, the Seckler Law Firm, we do the estate planning piece. We don't do the financial advisor piece. Keep your financial advisor, but let's work with them to make sure that that your plan is going to work the way that you want it to rather than leaving some of this stuff to chance. To find out more about all of the things I just taught you, come to one of our estate planning workshops. We call it the Life and Legacy Workshop. We have it live. We're having them in the Mars Cranberry area. Just about every month, if not a couple of times a month. And so it's free. There's good information. You can take us up on it. And then we offer you a free consultation. So if you come to the free workshop, not only do you get an hour, hour and a half of what I think to be pretty entertaining and pretty informational workshop, at the end of it, we offer you a free consultation with one of our lawyers. To get you on the right track with regard to what your estate plan should or could say. All right. There you go. Now, we talked about financial advisors and how Bob and Sue use them. We talked about estate planning and how Bob and Sue use them. What's this business about elder law? Like, what is this elder law thing? Everybody talks about elder law these days. What is this? Tim, you know, me, Tim, I am a certified elder law attorney. There's not a ton of us out there. So what the heck is that? Well, it's sort of this derivative of traditional estate planning, right? So we were just talking about traditional estate planning, planning for who gets it when you pass away, planning for some contingencies, taxes, making it easy. Elder law attorneys do all of those things. But we also answer the question, what happens if my client gets really, really sick before they pass away? So elder law attorneys do estate planning. Not all estate planners do the elder law piece. They don't want any part of it. They don't understand it because they don't do it. They're focused on the tax stuff, right? And so elder law attorneys, and why I got certified in it after a bunch of years of working in this area, is because this is tricky stuff. And so elder law attorneys take it a step further and say, okay, so we've done a will. We've answered the question, who gets it when they pass away? We answered the question, what happens if they're disabled? We did all of that traditional estate planning. But what happens if my client gets really, really sick before they pass away? Because one in three seniors is going to die with dementia. And if you're like me, you either are a senior or hope to be one day. I fall in the latter category. We need to be thinking about this. There was a study done recently. I think it was AARP. That said, it was something like 60% of seniors, retirees, think that Medicare pays for long-term care. Medicare, folks, does not pay for long-term care. If you get sick, if you have a heart attack, Medicare pays for that. They do the heavy lifting. You know, you get the ambulance ride, you get the hospitalization, you get the surgery, you get whatever you need. Medicare will pay for that. But if you have a stroke, and once you're stabilized and discharged to a skilled nursing facility, Medicare only pays for 20 days. After day 20, they may pay out another 80 days, but you'll have heavy copays, something like $150 a day. Okay, so Medicare is not in the long-term care business, guys. This is the fundamental problem you need to understand if you're retiring and concerned about this stuff. They don't pay for long-term care, and a lot of us are going to need long-term care. So how do you plan for it? Well, you could work with your financial advisor to get some sort of insurance to cover this, but most people don't because it's so cost prohibitive. The premiums are so expensive, nobody buys it. The other thing you could do is you could go visit an elder law attorney like yours truly. And what we're going to tell you is, okay, well, let's talk about varying levels of care. You know, you could need care here. You could need care here at the assisted living or the personal care home, maybe a dementia unit, perhaps a skilled nursing facility. Then we talk to you about eligibility for public benefits to help pay for that care because Medicare doesn't do it. So we need to talk about things like veterans benefits if you're a veteran. We need to talk things like Medicaid if you are not. And so Medicaid is really the name of the game when it comes to long-term care. Okay, our entire job, like a lot of what elder law attorneys do, is advise our clients on how to gain Medicaid eligibility if you need the nursing home, because most people know if I go to the nursing home, that I've got to go broke, right? Well, okay, but let's step back to Bob and Sue. Bob and Sue worked hard. He was an engineer. She was a school teacher. They raised kids. They saved money. They've got this financial advisor who has them in a fund that's not likely to lose a lot of money. They've got the estate planner who said, we're going to get it to the kids when you pass away. But so far, nobody has answered the question, what happens if Bob goes to the nursing home? And so you work rather than a traditional estate planner, you can go to an elder law attorney who will do the things the traditional estate planner does, but also tell you, okay, we got all those questions answered, but if Bob goes to the nursing home, Sue, here's how you're going to be okay. Here's how we know you're not going to lose your home. Here's how we know you're not going to live in the gutter. You're not going to lose all your money. You're not going to live on ramen noodles. We're going to take care of you, and we're going to protect some money for you. And if you're interested in that stuff, if you're concerned about what happens when I pass, what happens if I go to the nursing home, is my wife going to be okay? Then you need to come see us. So the first place to start would be some of our education materials, which is the live workshop. If you go to seclerlawfirm.com, seclerlawfirm.com, under the workshops tab, you can sign up for the free workshop. Come hang out with us for an hour and a half. My team is really nice. We'll teach you a bunch of interesting stuff. We'll teach you how to protect your spouse and your house. And then you can take us up on the offer for the free consultation, which, look, it's a free consultation. You'll get our take on your existing plan, or you can compare us to anybody else. We'll put our stuff up against anybody's. We really care about this stuff. We really want you and your legacy. I don't want you to be remembered for, man, he worked hard and he saved a lot, if only he hadn't lost it to the nursing home. That is a tragic story that happens all the time. And so if I'm working with Bob and Sue, I don't want the last chapter of their life to be about how, man, Bob was a great guy. Sue was just the sweetest lady. Too bad she spent 3 years in the nursing home and lost her house. It doesn't have to happen that way. And I don't want to be a fear monger, and I don't want to be like telling everybody, but look, this is the way this stuff works. If you don't know anybody that has been to a nursing home and lost it, you're probably in the minority, because a lot of people know somebody who has lost the house to the nursing home. Okay. So financial advisor will tell Bob and Sue how to invest their money. Estate planning is all about getting it to the kids in an efficient and an intelligent way from a tax standpoint, from a let's protect it from my kids' potential future divorce and whatnot, usually using some form of a trust. Elder law attorneys will help you plan for long-term care in conjunction with the other stuff. And a lot of what we do is trusts, all right? So I am a big fan of using trusts in the right situation. And in a certain type of trust called a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust that we have sort of customized and work with our clients on an individual basis, but the overall chassis that this thing is an asset protection trust. And what it can do is protect the money for your family. And so if you would ever go to the nursing home, those dollars could be safe from the nursing home. But when you pass away, the dollars still get to your kids rather than, in the traditional estate planning way. So in addition to the more traditional estate planning documents like a will or revocable living trust, in my office, in a lot of situations, we're going to talk to you about doing what's called an asset protection trust. And you do what's right for you. The way my initial consultation goes is you come in and we get to know you and your family, and we get to know your goals and concerns, and we understand your assets. And then we will say, well, here's option one, here's option two, here's option three, here's what they cost. The Sekler Law Firm, from an estate planning standpoint, is 100% flat fee. So at the first meeting, we'll tell you, here's your investment. And if you're not interested in working with us, that's great. I hope you learned a lot. If you are interested in working with us, then we'll get the information we need. We'll make some decisions, sometimes over a couple of meetings, to make sure that we get the customized estate plan done correctly for you, rather than just printing off some form like some people do, or like you can get off the internet, that is just switching names. We take a much more customized approach to what we do. So that's a little bit about the differences between the estate planning, the elder law, and how it works at the Sekler Law Firm. If you can't make one of our live workshops, I would encourage you to check out the pre-recorded ones that we have on our website. So they're still under the workshops tab, but if you scroll down far enough, you'll find a link to I think it's called the Asset Protection Workshop on the website, and you can watch an hour-long video of me explaining exactly some of the tools and techniques that we use to help people protect their house and their money from long-term care. The other thing an elder law attorney does is, if you are in a crisis situation, and how we define that is we don't have a long time to plan ahead. Somebody's already in a nursing home, and we want to know, is there anything that we can do to protect money now? Nursing homes in Pennsylvania cost about $130,000 a year. And so if you didn't know that, that's a good reason to come to the workshop, to protect yourself. If you do know that, it might be because you're already paying $12,000 a month for a nursing home. You ought to come see us, because sometimes there's things that we can do frequently. There's things that we can do to protect serious money even after you've had a nursing home admission. So if your spouse or your dad or you are in a nursing home and you are paying $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, or if your neighbor's in that situation, folks, somebody should give us a call, 724-841-1393, or check us out at seclerlawfirm.com, seclerlawfirm.com, because we can help in that situation. I do this work because of that situation. I had my own issues in my own family where, unfortunately, one of my relatives ended up spending a long time in a nursing home. and ended up going broke in the process. Well, that's an exaggeration, but they went through a heck of a lot of money, and it didn't have to be that way. The problem is just nobody took the time to think it through and understand that there were some additional options that could have taken place. Okay, so I need to be wrapping up here because I'm up against a hard stop, but I want to thank you for listening to the Life and Legacy Show. Again, my name is Tim Seckler. I'm a certified elder law attorney. I have an office in Mars and Cranberry area. We have an office in Newcastle, and we can see people in a variety of different locations. The phone number is 724-841-1393 or SecklerLawFirm.com, SecklerLawFirm.com. I hope that this episode was educational for you. I hope you found it entertaining and informational, but do not construe it as legal advice. If you have concerns in any of these areas, you need to have your concerns addressed by an attorney and not make any decisions based on what you heard on this or any other radio show. We can be happy to help you. Check us out at SecklerLawFirm.com and have a great day.
This has been the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great plans. SecklerLawFirm.com or call 724-841-1393.